Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better healthcare. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Dean Richards, Sunday morning, Chicago's WGN Radio 720. This is gonna be the best day of my
life. My life. 9:40 is the time. This is gonna be the best. And this is Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. Time for the weekend health. What information can we arm you with to make you the healthiest possible? Joining us this week is Dr. Santina Wheat, who is the program director, McGaw Northwestern Family Medicine Residency, Northwestern University. Dr. Wheat, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
So we were talking about Ryan Sandberg a few minutes ago on the program and his diagnosis of prostate cancer that seems like it went into remission and then came back with a fury. Not so much about Rhino's case in particular, but I wanted to talk about prostate cancer in general and what men need to know about protecting themselves, what red flags to look for. How prevalent is prostate cancer?
You know, prostate cancer becomes so very prevalent as men age. It is something that as you get older, we just find to be more and more common. Fortunately, it's slow growing, so many people never actually see the symptoms of it right away. But it's something that everybody should be looking out for.
What are the symptoms?
So most often when there are symptoms, it has to do with things that make it difficult to urinate. So maybe it's you're waking up a lot at nighttime, or there's a difficulty or pain when you're urinating, or feeling like you just never empty. Sometimes even seeing blood in your urine. Things that sometimes can be maybe checked off as, oh, I'm just getting older, I have to go to the bathroom more often. But that is really a reason to go talk to your doctor.
Yeah, I've always heard that prostate cancer was fairly survivable. Is that, for the most part, still, is that true?
That is absolutely true still for the most part, especially when we are able to find it early. And so, like I said, if you have any of those symptoms, it's a good reason to come see one of us. But we are often able to catch it early and treat it because it's fairly slow growing. That, of course, is different if it moves to other part of the body.
And it's a really simple test now. It used to be a very invasive test that men didn't really want to go through, but now it's simply done as part of a blood test. So it couldn't be easier to have things checked now, right?
Absolutely. So you can absolutely do a blood test even with your family doctor, just like me, if you're concerned about symptoms. If that blood test is elevated, then we will recommend that you go and speak to a specialist, and there might be additional confirmatory testing, but that initial screen absolutely is easy.
So when prostate cancer does go unchecked, you said it's very slow growing. Does that mean that it's been there for a while, that it's, you know, one of these cancers that by the time you know you have it, it may be too late?
It can be. So I will say for most people it's slow growing, but for others it can move fairly quickly. So it's still important to get checked out. But sometimes men can have it for years and it really hasn't moved very far. And so if it spreads to other parts of the body, then that's when we worry about it the most.
And that apparently is what happened with Ryan Sandberg, because he had announced months ago that it seems to have went into remission, only to have come back and had spread. So apparently, I mean, as I say, I don't want to get into his case. I don't know if you're familiar enough with it or not, but it, you know, it's neither here nor there. But the point is, for other people who think, oh, it's okay, I don't have any symptoms, you still need to get it checked out because you don't know what may be going on inside.
Absolutely. And like I said, if we can find it early and treat it, most men are able to live with it. But when it spreads to places like the lungs, the liver, or the bones, then it really impacts your survival. And so we really want to catch it before it goes there.
And treatment now for prostate cancer has advanced It used to be very debilitating for men physically. Now, because of the ways that it is treated, once discovered, it's not as invasive. It's not as long-lasting of a permanent effect anymore, is it?
Absolutely. I am really thrilled to see how much we've been able to advance in this research. And some of the treatment is much more directed at where the cancer is. And so absolutely, when found early, again, it can be much easier to treat and with a lot fewer side effects.
And is it true it's done now treated robotically, that it's treated with radiated pellets? I've heard lots of different ways that people who learn that they have prostate cancer are treated, and there are virtually no effects afterwards.
Absolutely. There are so many different ways. Each case is different. And so some people are treated with surgery. Some people are treated with radiation therapy. And like you said, those pellets or the seeds that are there to specifically go after the cancer. And then there are still some people that will be treated with either hormone therapy or chemotherapy. Every case is different again. But the advancements have been wonderful and are much more targeted than they used to be.
What are the advantages of this robotic surgery now? Is it just so much more precise?
That's absolutely right. So we are often seeing that when we move towards robotic surgery, that it allows it to be through smaller incisions and be more precise, so that the recovery time and the amount of impact to the rest of your body is less. Our surgeons have really advanced in amazing ways.
Yeah, that truly is amazing. Get that blood test, guys. I'm telling you what, it's something that you definitely want to do. Another health story that I found kind of interesting this week, singer Justin Timberlake was diagnosed with Lyme disease and had to cancel concerts and, you know, all that sort of thing. What is Lyme disease?
So Lyme disease is an illness that is often spread by ticks, and in the U.S. and particularly the upper Midwest, it is by deer ticks. And it is a disease that can have some really weird signs and symptoms. Sometimes it just starts with a rash that maybe you don't even see because it's in a part of your body that's hard to see, and then can have joint pains and feeling like you're feeling overall crummy. And so this is right the time of year that we see the most of it. So it's absolutely something to watch out for.
And once somebody is diagnosed, what is it that they do?
So we do antibiotic treatments, and even when we see someone that has early disease, we can give early antibiotic treatments and have a fairly high cure rate with this. So it's really important to be paying attention, especially if you are out in the woods or out in shrubbery, which is where we see ticks the most often, to pay attention to see if there's any on you, because we can even give you medication to prevent having the symptoms of it. But most commonly, we treat you with antibiotics.
Our phone number and text number, as always, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. If you've got a comment or question for Dr. Wheat, we're happy to get to your questions. I want to talk about the upsurge of COVID, which is rising in many states around the U.S. right now. We'll get to all of that and more when we come right back.
WGN. Dean Richards, Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
Don't 951, Dean Richards. 720 WGN coming up in our next half hour. One-on-one with comedy legend Lily Tomlin. Producing a play over at the Chicago Shakespeare Theater. Producing, not performing in, but still a really interesting conversation about Billie Jean King, the tennis icon. That's what the play is about. So that's coming up on our Week in Theater segment in just a bit. Dr. Santina Wheat with us on our Week in Health segment for this week. And some phone calls at 312-981-7200. Let's start off with Donna in St. Charles. Good morning. You're on WGN.
Good morning. My grandson has Lyme disease. It did not catch it early. And I'm just wondering what goes on with that.
Wow, that is a great question. Everyone is a little bit different, and we unfortunately then have to often treat for a longer period of time and do some management to make sure that there's not any further challenges. But usually we will follow and see sort of where the levels are, and sometimes we'll need to do pain management and just some additional therapies to make sure that they are feeling better. But it is still absolutely something to recover from. It just takes a little bit longer when you find it later.
Do I remember correctly that Lyme disease is often treated with antibiotics, or maybe I'm not remembering correctly or read incorrectly?
Nope, you have it right. We usually start with antibiotics, absolutely. But because it also has some symptoms of like arthritis with swollen joints and pain, we also will have to do the pain medicines to help with that to get through the symptoms.
Donna,
Is it curable?
It can be curable, but everybody's case is a little bit different. And so it would be hard for me to say exactly what symptoms your grandson has. And if there's other inflammation, then there's sometimes other treatments that we have to do along the way.
Okay, thank you.
All right, good luck to your grandson with that. We appreciate the call. Lyle, you're next on WGN. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
I got a question about prostate cancer treatment.
Okay.
I've been diagnosed with prostate cancer, the aggressive form, and they have got me on hormone therapy with Relugolix tablets. And I've also heard of the nano knife procedure. What does the doctor think of those two things?
I think that those are great treatment options. If you have an aggressive form and this is the type that your doctor is recommending, then I would absolutely listen with them and go for it. It still is probably the best option for you to decrease the growth of the prostate cancer, and then also allow for other treatments to make the cancer smaller. So I think that sounds like a great regimen for you.
Okay. Have you heard of the nano knife procedure?
I have heard of it. I have not yet had a patient that has gone through it, but I have seen good recommendations from it.
Is nano knife procedure like a conventional surgery where an actual knife is used to remove the cancerous portion of the prostate?
That is my understanding, that it absolutely is a little bit more directed towards where it's going and just a more precise procedure.
Got it. All right. Well, Lyle, good luck to you on all of this. Get all those procedures done.
All right. Thanks.
Appreciate the call. Thank you very much. And let's go to Steve next. He's in Orland Park, and you are on WGN. Hello, my friend.
Good morning, everybody, and good morning, doctor. My question is there any cure for tinnitus or tinnitus, which is ear ringing? And I'll disconnect the call to listen to your response. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Go ahead. Explain it's tinnitus, I think, correct?
I hear people say it differently every time. Okay. I always call it tinnitus, but right. I accept both, and that is ringing in the ears. It really depends on what the cause of it is. I have some patients that were able to go through different treatment options, and allow it to get better, but I have some patients that we have to work through just different things to help accommodate and have it not be quite so loud. Sometimes people use earplugs when they need to sort of decrease the extra noise. And it can be one that is pretty challenging to treat, unfortunately, and fairly uncomfortable.
Yeah. What causes it?
It really depends. Sometimes there is challenges in the middle ear. Sometimes it's from a history of being exposed to loud sounds and having hearing loss with that. Sometimes it's a signal of other things, of tumors or other changes, primarily in the inner ear. And it really is a different option for every person.
All right. It seems like every week we bring up COVID for a variety of reasons. I actually tested positive for COVID a couple of weeks ago. I got out of isolation about a week ago from it, doing much better, feeling much better. Thank you, everybody, for so many nice and supportive comments. But after I tested positive, I learned there is an upsurge going on right now, correct?
There sure is. There's actually, it's thought to be growing or likely growing in 40 of the states in the U.S. right now. So we are really seeing it grow across the country right now.
So is it too late to simply go get a vaccination?
This is an interesting question. Not everybody is recommended to have a vaccine right now, particularly if you got one last year. If you are not up to date, it never hurts to go and get a vaccine. I will always recommend that. I will say the good news that we are seeing right now is that the strain that's coming through our country does not seem to be much more aggressive than the ones that we saw last year, if at all more aggressive. It just seems to be fairly contagious. So it's something to really watch out for right now. It's coming pretty quickly.
Yeah, and if all of you, you know, sort of became lax and lazy about wearing masks and, you know, taking precautions, I'm the poster boy for that right now of becoming lax with all of that because you think, you know, well, we're done with COVID. It's over. You know, I can go back to sort of a normal life again. We really can probably never go back to a normal life, I guess, right?
I think that's true. And I know people really think of our respiratory illness surges in the winter. But the thing that came with COVID is we actually get two surges. So we usually do get this summer surge, or we have every year since it's been around. And so this summertime surge is unfortunately to be expected. And then we will probably see another one again in the winter.
847 area code says, I had a measles shot 45 years ago. Should I get another one now?
Oh, that is difficult to say. Probably worth going and talking to your doctor. You probably do need another one. Some of us that got it around that time, one wasn't enough, and you probably need at least a second one. And also, there were former measles shots that were not quite as effective, and so it might be worth a booster.
Dr. Santina Wheat, Program Director, McGaw Northwestern Family Medicine Residency, Northwestern Medicine, Del Nor Hospital. Fantastic job today. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, and I'm glad you're feeling better.
Thank you.